If you have your Bible with you this evening, I'd invite you to turn with me to the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 2. As we continue our way through the Sermon on the Mount in the mornings, with a correlating text from the Old Covenant in the evenings. Tonight we will consider Malachi chapter 2. We'll read, for the sake of context, verses 10 through 16 as we focus our attention really on 13 through 16. Our title for this evening is Faithfulness in Marriage and Faithfulness to God. Our proposition is this: God calls His covenant people to reflect His own faithfulness by living faithfully in marriage. For marriage is His covenant design. An extension of what we learned this morning in the fifth chapter of Matthew. God calls His covenant people to reflect His own faithfulness by living faithfully in marriage. For marriage is His covenant design. Malachi chapter 2, we'll begin in verse 10. Before we read God's word together, let's ask Him to bless the reading of it to us. Our Father and our God, again, this is Your word, and we ask that You would be pleased to open our eyes. We ask that You would unstop our ears, crush our hearts of stone. We have been prideful. We are sinful. And Father, we need Your Spirit. Grant us wisdom as we look here at Your truth. We pray that it would transform our hearts even now, that we would grow in Christ-likeness for the glory of His name alone. Amen. As is my custom, would you, if you're able, stand with me as we read God's holy word. Malachi chapter 2, beginning in verse 10. Do we not all have one Father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously each against his brother so as to profane the covenant of our fathers? Judah has dealt treacherously, and an abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah has profaned the sanctuary of the Lord, which he loves, and has married the daughter of a foreign god. As for the man who does this, may the Lord cut off from the tents of Jacob everyone who awakes and answers, or who presents an offering to the Lord of hosts. And this is another thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with groaning, because he no longer regards the offering or accepts it with favor from your hand. Yet you say, for what reason? Because God the Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously. Though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. But not one has done so who has a remnant of the Spirit. And what did that one do while he was seeking a godly offspring? Take heed then to your spirit, and let no one deal treacherously against the wife of your youth. For I hate divorce, says the Lord, the God of Israel, and him who covers his garment with wrong, says the Lord of hosts. So take heed to your spirit, that you do not deal treacherously. You have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet you say, how have we wearied him? And that you say, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. Or, where is the God of justice? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. the prophet Malachi writes to a people who outwardly practiced religion, but inwardly portrayed their covenant with God. They offered sacrifices, they shed tears at the altar, and they kept up appearances of devotion, yet their hearts were far from Him. Now in this passage we have just read, Malachi exposes one of the most serious betrayals. He exposes unfaithfulness in marriage. As we said this morning, Israelite men were divorcing their wives, the wives of their youth, and marrying foreign women who did not fear the Lord. And God tells them that their weeping at the altar is useless because their lives contradict their worship. Let me say that again. God tells them that their weeping at the altar is useless because their lives contradict their worship. They had forgotten, if you will, that marriage is not a casual arrangement, but a covenant before the Lord. And this passage again reminds us that unfaithfulness in marriage is not only a sin against one's spouse, but it's also a sin against God Himself. And it is so because marriage is a covenant established in His presence, and to break that bond is really to despise the God of the covenant. Again, I remind you that God calls us, His covenant people, to reflect His own faithfulness by living faithfully in our marriages. And as I said this morning, your marriage is your first mission field. Your marriage is that place that the rest of the world should look and see the faithfulness of God. And far too often today, it's the very last place we see God's faithfulness. Not only is this true in the secular world, but I'm afraid it's also true within the church. That we no longer view our marriages as covenant binding under the head of our covenant God. And they are to reflect to those around us God's covenantal faithfulness to His people. That's really what Ephesians 5 is all about, as we looked at earlier today. So this evening, I just want us to again consider our own mission field. And I want us to consider what we're being taught here yet again in Malachi chapter 2. You see, God rejects worship without faithfulness. God rejects worship without faithfulness. Malachi begins by exposing really the hypocrisy of Judah's worship. Can you imagine they wept and they wailed at the altar because the Lord no longer accepted their offerings? And why was this? And the text tells us clearly, because they were dealing treacherously with the wife of their youth. Their lips were singing praises, but their lives betrayed the vows they had made. Worship cannot be separated from daily life. God does not delight in sacrifices when hearts are faithless. And beloved, a marriage vow broken in secret can't be hidden by your pious words spoken in public. I want you to think of a husband who buys his wife flowers every Friday. Every Friday evening he buys her a beautiful bouquet of flowers. Roses, lilies, tulips. I hope not lilies, I'm allergic to them, but roses, lilies, tulips. And the neighbors come to your home and they comment on what a thoughtful man your husband must be. Yet behind closed doors, that same man is unfaithful. And when the truth comes out, the wife says, "These flowers are really an insult to me. They're not signs of love, but reminders of betrayal." That's exactly what God was saying to Israel. That their weeping and wailing at the altar was fake. Their tears at the altar and their sacrifice were like flowers from an unfaithful spouse. They were just empty gestures covering covenant, really treachery. Isaiah 1, I think, echoes the same thing. God says, I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assembly. Worship divorced from faithfulness is hypocrisy. Worship divorced from faithfulness is hypocrisy. Now, we must not think that we can sing psalms on Sunday well by betraying our vows on Monday. Our worship cannot be separated from our home life. Faithlessness in marriage, whether through adultery, neglect, abandonment, any of those things, really renders our worship empty before God. Now, I want to kick that up one notch this evening and consider this, and maybe I'm stretching a little bit here, but I'm not. Because the church is considered, but I'm stretching here a little bit, but I'm not. The church, or the Bible's clear, the church is the bride of Christ, and Christ is her bridegroom. And we know that Christ is the keeper of the covenant, is he not? He's the maker and keeper of the covenant, and he is our husband. Now I ask you, if this is what is being applied to your personal marriage, between you and your wife, between you and your husband, can this not be applied between us and the bridegroom, Jesus Christ? We who are all members of his body here. Christ is the head of this church, amen? And it's his and his alone. And we are his precious bridegroom purchased by him. And each of one of us here this evening has taken vows before God and men in regards to that covenant relationship we have entered into. And we had made promises to God because God is faithful in keeping promises to us, namely the redemption of our souls. We have made promises to God that we would be good church members. Faithful church members, that we would be abiding in that covenant promise. Do you view your membership or your covenant promise to Christ, who is the head of the church, in a manner that brings glory and honor to him? Or is it faithless? Does Christ see your flowers in your offering as just clutter on a table? As meaningless and worthless? God rejects worship without faithfulness. We see it throughout the history of redemption. And if he does, what does he require of his people? Malachi points us back to the foundation, God's covenant design for marriage itself. And I want us to see that. Look at verse 15 in the text. Malachi asks, did he not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union? Marriage is not, again, a human invention, but a divine ordinance. And it's rooted, as we saw this morning, in creation, Genesis 2. And from the beginning, God made man and woman one flesh. We said that today. And he himself joins them together by his Spirit. So we, as we've said and we've learned, that marriage is not merely a contract between two parties. It's a covenant before the Lord. And the purpose of this covenant, Malachi tells us here, is God seeks godly offspring. Look at me. The reason for this promise is that God seeks godly offspring. Covenant faithfulness in marriage ensures that the faith is passed down to the next generation, right? Now, picture a farmer that ties two ox together with a yoke. If one pulls left and the other pulls right, what happens to the plow? It's crooked. And the field really is ruined. I'm not much of a farmer, so you can check with Rick on this. But I think that's true. If one of the beasts are going left and the other beast is going right, the rows it's plowing can't be very stable or very good. But when two ox pull together, it's straight, isn't it? And Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So it is, beloved, with marriage. Husband and wife are bound together, but the Spirit of God Himself is that third strand that strengthens and holds the covenant. And without Him, really, the union frays apart. Over and over again, I've married young people, and one of the things I encourage them is this, is to make Christ Jesus the center of their marriage. Make Christ Jesus the center of your marriage. When Christ is the center of your marriage, then you will experience true joy. Now, you may be married a long time, and you may think that you're happy. But if Christ is not the center of your marriage, you are neither. Neither one of those are true about you. You can only truly be happy when Christ is the center of your marriage, the center of your household. That's why your first mission field is your marriage, your home. And it's the means by which God has ordained that the faith be, if you will, passed down from generation to generation. Reformed people are always charged with, truly reformed people, let me qualify this statement. Truly reformed people are always charged with two things. You talk about sin too much and you all have too many babies. Now, it even gets worse than that. You talk about the ugliness of sin and you're always putting me down and talking about how horrible I am and what a terrible person I am. And you all have babies you can't afford. Have you ever heard that? You keep having babies. Why are you having babies when you can't afford the ones that you have? And why do you keep telling me how rotten I am? Well, both are true. You are rotten. I'm rotten. We're all rotten. However, we have babies for what purpose? To build the kingdom of Jesus Christ. To pass the faith down. Children are not just an add-on today. You know those, what do I want to call them? Vogue families? That's probably not it. Well, we want to have one boy, one girl, and we're going to drive this car and that car, right? Everybody has this dream. They're going to have one boy, one girl. Now, not everyone can have a baby. Don't get me wrong. God doesn't bless everyone with babies, et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't make you a second-rate Christian or any of those things. I don't want anyone walking out of here with a delusional thought by any means. But God has clearly, in the creation ordinance, ordained how we are to populate the earth for His glory. Amen. And we have covenant children in order to bring glory and honor to Him. You see, marriage is God's covenant design for the expansion of the kingdom, His kingdom here on earth, that we might bring glory and honor to Him in the faithful worship of Him. Verse 16. Malachi is showing us the seriousness of covenant breaking. The Lord speaks plainly here. For the man who does not love his wife, but divorce her, says the Lord, the God of Israel, covers his garment with violence. Now, only an Old Testament prophet can write as such. But what he says here is that God hates divorce because it's an act of covenant breaking. And as we said this morning, divorce tears apart what God has joined together. It's not neat and tidy. It leaves wounds, it scars and brokenness. Just as God really abhors idolatry because it's spiritual idolatry, so he abhors, I think, marital treachery because it assaults his covenant love. God hates divorce. And as I said this morning, we live in a world in which north of 40% of all marriages end in divorce. And divorce isn't seen as a covenant between two individuals and before the triune God of the universe. A marriage is seen as a contract. A contract that can be renegotiated each time someone doesn't fulfill their side. And people are excused from easily. But beloved, the same is true with inside the church. Your marriage contract between the head of the church, Christ Jesus our Lord. The very same holds true for each one of us here this evening. The groom has purchased his bride. And he has promised her that he will never leave for her nor forsake her. Regardless, mind you, of how faithful you are, remember this. He is always faithful. And even though we waver and wean and break faith and lose faith and are faithless, God is always faithful. So I want you, if you will, to take all that we've gathered today from Matthew 5 and Malachi 2. And I want you to think in terms of your marriage to the Lamb of God. Your marriage to Christ Himself. Does your union in Christ Jesus reflect a faithfulness, or does it reveal a faithlessness? Are you merely faithful to Him on Sunday morning? Are you merely faithful to Him on Sundays? Well, on Mondays I do my devotion. On Tuesdays I do my prayer. And we pray together at supper and we do all these nice little things. No. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about a bride and a groom that are united together, bound together in covenant relationship to each other under the covenant King Himself, Christ Jesus. Does your membership here at Roebuck reflect the greatness of your union with Christ? Well, I'm good for now. Now I'm going to get a little pushy. I'm here on Sunday mornings, but I really don't need to come on Sunday nights. I wonder how that would work with my wife. I'm here in the morning, hon, but I'm going over there in the evening with my other love, with my real interest. There's much to consider. Is Christ just something you consider on Sundays? Or is He the very heartbeat of your life Monday, Sunday through Saturday, 24 hours a day, minute by minute? Beloved, we were purchased with the blood of the second person of the Blessed Trinity. We were dead and without hope, save in His grace and mercy. And even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, the elect. If you're the elect, you should want to be with your groom all the time. And here's the good news. He's not like the bum to your right or left right now, who you might not want to be with sometimes. You'll always find your greatest joy and happiness beside Him. Now, if you're not married, I remind you that this is the greatest covenant blessing, that you are the bride of Christ. And there's no greater joy. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wives, honor your husbands in the Lord. Honor your husbands in the Lord. Now, gentlemen, if you love your wife as Christ loved the church, she would have no problem honoring you. Amen. And wives, honor your husbands. Don't belittle your husband. So often today I see over and over again wives belittling husbands. And wives taking on roles that they're not called to take on. Why? Because men won't do that. Have you heard that? Well, I do that because a man won't do it. They're not bright enough. They're lazy. Just as a sidebar, always remember this. Two wrongs never make a what? A right. Two wrongs never make a right. So husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wives, honor your husbands in the Lord. And parents, raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, some of you will say, this is a silly sermon today for Roebuck Presbyterian Church because it's so old. Yeah, we're old. But my question to Roebuck Presbyterian Church is, are you modeling to the younger generation what marriage really is and is supposed to be? You want to attract young people here? Start modeling Christ to the world. Start showing Christ to the world. Begin in your marriage. Begin in your family. Older ladies, teach the younger ladies. How did you stay married? There's only one reason anyone stays married, and it's not you. We stay married because God is faithful and He keeps us married. Amen? If every one of us was left to ourselves, we'd leave our wives. Trust me, wives, you're not the good. Right away, you could just see it. What are you talking about? He'd never find anybody as good as me or Miss Ava. That's right. Right? But listen, none of us would stay married if it wasn't for the faithfulness of God. I guarantee that. You would sell the bride of your youth in a heartbeat left to yourself. So make Christ the center of your marriage. Teach younger people. how to be married today in a world that has lost all concept regarding marriage as a covenant. Teach them, but model it well. There's nothing worse than a bad model. And the world provides plenty of them. The church doesn't need to add to it. Faithfulness in marriage is faithfulness to God. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for your goodness and mercy. And Father, we confess that we think we're a whole lot better than we are. And as we were reminded in prayer time, we should always remember that we are sinner and saint. And that both exist. And as we grow in Christ's likeness, we pray that the sinner would die more and more. And Father, we do pray for the state of marriage here in this country, in this region, in South Carolina, in Spartanburg, in Greenville. Father, we pray for more covenant homes, more covenant children, more covenant marriages, that it might go well, and that we would be a blessing to you as we're united to the groom himself, Christ the King. Make us faithful, we pray. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.